Welcome to the Garden Angelus, where we talk about flowers, veggies, and all the best dirt. I'm Dee Nash from Guthrie, Oklahoma, where I garden on 7.5 acres out in the country.
And I'm Carol Michael from Indianapolis, Indiana, where I garden on a suburban lot measured in square feet. It's less than a third of an acre.
Lucky you. We call ourselves Garden Angelus because we are evangelists for gardening. We love gardening and we want you to love it too.
Yes, we do. And we aren't afraid to spill the beans and tell all of our gardening secrets. The good, the bad, and even the ugly. But that's enough of who, what, when, and where. Let's move on to this week's episode. Hello, Dee.
Hello, Carol. How are you?
I am wonderful. This is an exciting episode because guess what?
It is. It is. It's so exciting. Tell them.
This begins season three.
We have made it through two seasons of 52 weeks each, right?
That's right.
And so this is our third year podcasting. Most people only make it to about 100 episodes.
And so we are at 106 because we did two special episodes.
That's right, we did. So happy, can we call it a birthday?
Happy podcast anniversary.
There we go. Works for me. So tell me, how does your garden grow?
My garden grows quite well. I had a commission last week to finish putting leaves on all the vegetable garden beds and on top of the figs. Mission accomplished.
Awesome. Good job.
And guess what? Yesterday was Sunday because this is Monday. This will drop on Wednesday.
Right. We record on Mondays, everybody. And then Carol has to put our stuff together, and we usually launch, well, we always launch on
Wednesday. That's right. Yesterday, it got up to 79 degrees, which I think beat the old record of 77 set in 1999 because I looked it up. So I was out mowing leaves, putting on the garden, and I was sweating like summertime out there.
Yeah, I did some work out in the garden both yesterday and the day before, and it was quite warm. We have now gotten back down to, we're supposed to be a seasonable 67 degrees today. It's so weird because we had that giant ice storm.
Right.
And then it soared into the 70s. And now the trees, the winds are blowing, so the trees are losing their leaves, etc.
Well, we have today is going to be warm again, but I'm far too busy to do much outside. And then tomorrow it drops down to the 50s. And our average high in November is 52. So the one neighbor who puts their house lights on their house like a crazy person, and it's always beautiful, he put all his lights up yesterday. He said he never sweat doing it before. It's fun.
Wow. Well, in my garden, if you want to hear what's happening in it.
Yeah, I do want to hear, because last we talked, it was kind of a disaster zone.
It's still a disaster, but I don't want to talk about that today. I'm just going to go la, 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 and go on. My bulbs came.
Yay!
And so, yay! And I can't get in the garden, in the back garden, to plant some of them. But next week, I'm going to plant, well, yeah, this week, I guess. I'm going to plant the Scilla Siberica in the upper pasture and maybe a few in the garage garden because I want to see my bees with blue knees.
That'll be fun.
And everybody who doesn't know, Siberian squill, which is a little tiny blue flower, it has blue pollen.
Right.
So bees, their little pollen pockets are blue, and, you know, it's the bee's knees. And then I also got my amaryllis bulbs, and I planted all of those in pots. They're ready to go. And I got some paper whites that don't stink called Ariel, Imball, and Winter Sun. So I've been potting up. That's what I've been doing.
You have been. And so speaking of amaryllis bulbs, back in early September, I stopped watering all my amaryllises, and I must have like five pots of them.
Me too.
They've been dying back mm-hmm. gradually, and then once they're died back, I'm going to let them rest a minute, and then I'll start watering. I hope to have blooms in January.
Yeah, that's my hope too. I had a few. I've got one that I brought out, and it's sending up leaves, so I suspect it won't bloom, but that's okay. It didn't hurt it.
Right. And I've been getting a lot of emails. Time to order those amaryllis bulbs. We'll talk about that another day.
Yeah, we will talk about that. But if you haven't ordered your amaryllis bulbs, go on and order them. It's something fun. It's cheerful in winter.
Exactly. And let's move on to our quote. I was going to say something about amaryllis, but we are moving on to the quote, Dee. I'm not going to talk about amaryllis anymore.
Do you want to do the quote?
I do. It's not been a case of us looking after our gardens, but our garden is looking after us. Monty Don said that when talking about this year of COVID on the last episode of this season's Gardener's World. And you sent me that quote on Saturday.
I did, because I subscribed to BritBox, and you can probably find the last episode on YouTube also because people pirate it. But if you have BritBox, they had the whole season, and I hadn't seen a few episodes, and I thought on Saturday, I'm just going to sit down and watch the last episode. And that quote is so perfect.
It is perfect. The garden is taking care of you.
It is. It's been a rough year.
It has been. But you are taking care of your garden. And we talked last week about spice bush. Mm-hmm. And you wanted to talk about it because you were intent on making sure your spice bush survived, because
it's the first thing that blooms in my garden in spring.
And you need that in the spring. You look for those blooms.
Yeah, it blooms in February here. It blooms in February. I mean, if I lived in another state that was calmer, as far as weather goes, I could have some, like, you know, one of the really heavily scented spring shrubs. But I don't. The only one I can think of that would bloom earlier would be winter honeysuckle, which, that reminds me, I'm going to order a shrub today of winter honeysuckle. I thought I had winter honeysuckle, but it turned out not to be winter honeysuckle. That's another one that blooms early. But spice bush, northern spice bush, also called wild allspice, is Lindera benzoin. And Brennan and I think we talked about this last week. Brennan and I uncovered it from a whole bunch of limbs. And you know what? It just sprang right back up. It's native. It's native to your state. It's native to my state. It's native to the Southeast. It's one of the best shrubs, small tree, big shrub, that you can grow, because it blooms really early, gives pollinators food. The blooms are really beautiful. They're kind of a greenish yellow.
Okay.
And then it looks just kind of like a shrub all summer. But spicebush swallowtails love it, as does the eastern tiger swallowtail. And I'm not talking about the adults, I'm talking about the babies. And then also the Promethea silk moth. All three of those use it as a host plant. And so it can grow in almost any soil. It can grow with almost any type of moisture. It likes partial shade here. We'll see how it does with less shade now. And I have three of them because what am I trying to get, Carol?
Trying to get the drupes, which is the fruit.
The fruit. And it's really hard to tell if a shrub is male or female until it gets to a certain size. So you have to have more than one plant and hope you get a male and a female. I'm afraid, so far, that all of mine are boys. But they're still beautiful. Oh, and in the fall, it turns bright yellow leaves.
That's pretty. That sounds pretty.
It's a good shrub. And you don't have it, do you?
I do not. I'm going to tell you about the shrub I do have that blooms in February.
But will you plant a spice bush for me?
Well, you know what? One would not do it, and I don't have room for two.
You can only have, you just won't get droops, but that's okay.
I guess. I mean, I live in a suburban lot. I mean, I might. We'll see. There's always room for one more, right?
Right, there's always room for one more shrub. You don't have to have a whole bunch of shrubs. So tell me about your shrub. I also have this shrub.
So the vernal witch hazel, Hamamelis vernalis, sometimes called the Ozark witch hazel, also blooms in February, and it's native to mostly Missouri, Arkansas, and Oklahoma, but it's doing well in my garden, and it blooms here around February.
Yeah, I will have mine are just now getting big enough to bloom. I bought them a few years ago, and they were really tiny sticks, and they are not a super fast grower.
Right.
So
the thing is, it has scent.
Yes, it has scent, and that's huge.
Yeah, scent. It's scented. It needs to be scented because the flowers are really kind of ugly. They're just little twisted up.
They're not much to them.
It looks like little pieces of, I don't know. It's not very pretty, but it has scent.
Like little pieces of crumpled paper, yeah. But really small. Yeah. And so witch hazels, the ones you see on the market most of the time, unless you go to a native's nursery, are the ones that are Hamamelis times Intermedia, right. Which means that they are cultivars.
Yeah. Well, they've been crossed. They crossed Vernalis with a species Japonica, which is not native, but it improved the hardiness. So if you buy one called Arnold's Promise or Diane or there's
Helena is another one.
Those are likely the hybrids. It's a nice shrub, has good fragrant early flowers. Some fall color, it's kind of a mixed bag on the color, sort of reddish.
Arnold's Promise has yellow leaves. I have Arnold's Promise, I have Helena, and I have Diane. And Diane turns in my garden red, reddish orange. Arnold's Promise is especially beautiful this year. I'll send you a picture of it. It's got bright yellow leaves. And I'll be honest, I don't know what Helena. I think I'm saying that right. Let me look it up just to be sure. You keep going.
Okay. Well, what I want to say about both the spice bush and the witch hazel that's nice is you get early spring blooms, which is great when nothing else is blooming. But then they add fall right. color to the garden. And so in between, they're just kind of a green shrub. So I would put them in a mixed border and kind of let them do their thing. And they're just kind of nice to have in a mixed border.
And I have to grow mine in partial sun, my witch hazels, all of them. Because really, they're an understory shrub. Mm-hmm. Like
they are.
You know, like other understory shrubs. And I will say that and it is Helena, I looked it up. The ones that are the cultivars, they do have bigger flowers.
They do. They and I don't know if they gave away scent from that. I think they still have scent. Mine grows on the north side of my house, so it's mostly shaded. And it does just fine. It's really good. It's a good shrub.
That's good news.
So you want to go on to our quote?
I do. I do want to go on to our quote.
Go for it.
I think most of us who have gardens have found new ways in which the garden supports, sustains, and inspires us. That's again, Monty Donna is from that same episode.
And we got a theme going. Gardens sustain us. Gardens
sustain us. And so one of the big garden trends this year was that more people gardened than ever before.
Right. And more people were growing vegetables than ever before. So the question that everybody has is, are they coming back next spring to try it again? Because if they weren't very successful, and sometimes you're not, it can be disheartening.
Yeah.
And so
it can be disheartening. So we want to give everybody a pep talk, like our earlier midsummer pep talk, and say, yeah, try again. Because most crafts take some time to learn.
They do. And you kind of got to get through the, Seth Godin would call it a dip. So you get excited and you really do things well and everything's going really good. And then there's a dip and things, you know, and it's like you got to get through the dip and come back up the other side. You learn, you grow, you experiment. Things work out. Some things don't work out, but you got to do it again.
Yeah, it's that old adage of one step forward, two steps back, and then you make another step forward. Because all of us have failures. We talk about our failures all the time. And does anybody ever get the kind of harvest that they want of every vegetable they grow?
No. We talk about it's a good year for tomatoes or it's a bad year for peppers or we both had a bad year for green beans.
We did. And I didn't have a very good year for my eggplant. And for whatever reason, I didn't want to eat it this year. So I'm not going to grow eggplant next year. Next year, I'm going to grow more tomatoes and more peppers, though. I really enjoyed some of the peppers I grew, and I loved the tomatoes. And so I'm going to do them in bags again.
That's a good idea. So what we would tell people is if you grew vegetables and you're not sure, prep that garden now in the last few wonderful days of fall. Get it cleaned up, kind of fluff it up a little bit, maybe cover it with some shredded leaves. Let it have a nice rest so that it's ready to go in the spring. And then just tell yourself you're going to do it.
And if you can't find shredded leaves, you could always use Back to Nature cottonseed hull compost. There are other off brands of that. And another thing you could use is mushroom compost. That's always a good thing to put into the soil. And I just thought of something. You know, when I tipped over I put some of my potting soil, including the fabulous pot soil, into my other garden beds, you know, just to top it off because I wasn't going to reuse it again.
Right.
I got worms out of there, and I'm showing you right now. The worms were this big. They were this long. How long? 6 inches?
6 inches. Those are big worms.
And they were half an inch thick.
You should have gone fishing, Dee.
Small snakes.
You should have gone fishing.
I dug them out of there and went and put them in my garden because I thought, dang, those are the biggest worms I've ever seen in my life. So
that's weird. Did they come in? I wonder if they were already in the potting soil when you got it, because it was organic potting soil, wasn't it?
Yeah, all the potting soils I used were organic, all three brands. Huh, so
that's interesting.
Yeah, but interestingly, yeah, all of them, I can't figure out how the worms got in there or how they got so big, but they were the biggest worms I've ever seen in my life.
So we got two quotes here, Dee. I put one in and you put one in, I guess.
I guess we did. So let's do one for on the bookshelf and then we'll do one for the dirt.
Yeah, so this one, we're going to park that till next week. Leave that one. Oh.
Okay, I'll fix it.
Do the idea. Okay.
So we're going to park one for next week. And I'm going to let you do the quote because you know which one you want to do.
I do. When you plant something, you invest in a beautiful future amidst a stressful, chaotic, and at times downright appalling world. Also, Monty Daunt.
Right. We keep everything pretty positive here on the podcast, but we're the first to admit it's been a tough year. We had COVID. We had the election. We had some terrible protests, and things have been kind of hard. So
they have.
The U.S. is really stressed out right now. So we're going to talk about something that makes us happy.
Exactly. And so going along with the theme of, I mean, it is November. So a couple of days ago, I thought I'm going to read a throwback garden book. And so I pulled off the shelf The Garden in Autumn by Alan Lacey. And this thing was written in 1990.
Wow, that's eons ago. That is 31 years ago.
You know, this is before people were all into the grasses and, you know, the new perennial movement or whatever. But
right.
Here's what I like about it is Alan Lacey is just a fabulous writer.
He's just amazing.
And he's dropped a whole bunch of names in this book already. And names of people from the past that have passed on. Some of them haven't passed on. For example, he gives a shout out to Alan Bush, who used to own a nursery in North Carolina. And Alan Bush, yes. We know him. He lives.
Yes, we do.
He lives down in the Louisville area. Still a charming writer. And if you ever run across anything he's written, and sometimes he writes for Garden Rant, always worthwhile to read.
Oh, my goodness. It always, I mean, I think, and this is just my opinion, it's not necessarily yours, I think the late 80s, early 90s were kind of a renaissance of garden writing.
Yeah, I think garden writing goes through ebbs and flows. And mm-hmm. So this is more of an ebb, I guess.
So in my garden,
it's a flow.
This relates to Alan Lacey.
Yeah.
In my garden, a friend gave me Hella Lacey. And it's an aster, and it's a big, beautiful aster. I should send you a piece of it. That was Alan Lacey's wife.
Oh.
And whenever I think of Hella Lacey, whenever she starts to bloom in autumn, I think about how much I enjoy his writing and how, you know, how beautiful it is.
And I just turned to page 82, asters, and they talked about, they've got a picture of it. Hella Lacey.
It's a beautiful one.
It's a really, mm-hmm. really dark purple.
It is, and it's very beautiful.
But this, the book just sort of resonates, and he talks about how in the fall, gardeners tend to just sort of like ignore their gardens, and they're moving on to football games and all the activities and everything, and that really, if you work at it, fall can be a beautiful time in the garden because the weather is calmed down. There's no big mm-hmm. rush like there is in the spring, mild days. And so he's really got some excellent ideas of things you can plant. And
One more thing about Hella Lacey. I looked this up just to be sure since we just said this off the cuff. It was discovered in Alan's garden, and he named it for his wife.
Of course he did.
Which is really lovely. So while we're going to say that we are going to link to this, just like we link to all books, but I don't have this book. And so while Carol's been talking about it, I went on a different website called Thrift Books, and I bought it for $5 and something.
That's good.
On Amazon, it's $51.
So bookfinder.com is another great source for finding old books. It'll show you every place that's got it for sale. But good used copies are still available. So here's what's interesting about this. First of all, Saxon Holt, whom we still know, did the cover photograph, 1990. So he's been around a long time. And then awesome. I think the reason that Alan writes so well is people think, well, Alan Lacy, the gardener, but it's Alan Lacy, the professor of philosophy.
Yeah, he's a big deal.
Yeah. Now, he's passed away, but...
He was, I should say.
But he grew up in the South, and he was living in New Jersey, and... So I'm just enjoying this book on these autumn days as things kind of wind down.
I look forward to getting mine too. And just as a aside, I'm writing a post right now called Beauty Remains. And it's all about what is still beautiful in my garden. And I've worked really hard to make my garden a four-season garden. And so there's a lot of beautiful things in spite of the fact that there are giant tree limbs down in my back garden. So there you go.
Very nice. So we're all messed up on quotes here. I like the quote that we skipped above. Let's do that one.
Okay. I am always more interested in people than plants. Nature doesn't make gardens. People make gardens. And the story of a garden is always a story of a person. Well, that fits in with everything today.
Yes.
So our dirt is about picking trees that do well in normal ice storms. This was not a normal ice storm that we had in Oklahoma because the trees still had leaves, so nothing would have done well. But for right now, there's a lot of trees that you can plant. And we actually are linking to a list, which is the Tree Care Industry Association.
Yes, plant ice-resistant trees. And there's a lot of good ones on the list that I am familiar with.
Yeah.
And some of these people don't plant a lot of, like, ironwood is a very lovely small tree. It grows very slowly.
Very slowly because the wood is so hard.
Right.
And that's something our listeners may not understand is trees that grow really fast tend to have brittle, they're fast growing because it's a softer wood and they tend to be brittle.
Right.
And so old-fashioned trees, native trees, even our native oaks didn't survive. I mean, okay, I say that. They lost a lot of limbs, but they're going to be okay. But I saw some trees that people planted, like Chinese pistache. Chinese pistache in Oklahoma got decimated. Lacebark elm, decimated. Then Kentucky coffee tree is on the list of ones that do well in ice, and I think it did well here.
Yes, and Kentucky coffee tree always fascinates me. Because it has a double compound leaf.
Okay, explain that, because I haven't done botany in a while.
A compound leaf, you have like a main like axle, and then off that are little leaflets that come off.
Yes.
So the Kentucky coffee tree, all the leaflets also have leaflets, which makes it double compound.
Oh, how weird.
You'll have to look it up.
I will.
It's very interesting. Great for a leaf collection. And I knew where one grew in my hometown because we made leaf collections in fourth grade, and I still remember.
Okay, so people may have heard my keyboard clicking. They may not have. I looked it up. I see exactly what you're talking about. It comes down, and it's got its normal leaf, but on each of the leaflets, there's also a whole set of leaves.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Leaflets on
so
leaflets.
It's a great tree. It's slow. It's another slow grower.
Right. And around here, believe it or not, our state tree is the tulip tree, Liriodendron tulipifera, which is a poplar. And poplars in general tend to be very fast growing. And I remember as a kid, we had a big thunderstorm that came up one summer day, and it took the top out of that tulip tree because it's very weak wooded.
Right. So don't be in a big hurry when you go back to plant trees. I'm actually going to write about this for Oklahoma Living Magazine, but it won't come out until January or February. So, but when you replace those trees in Oklahoma or in Indiana, if you get an ice storm this winter,
God forbid,
try to choose trees that are slower growers because it'll be better. I mean, but I do love a good maple tree. Maple trees are beautiful. They are not slow growers.
No.
But they're not super fast either.
No.
So.
And you know, the thing about oak trees hold their leaves for a long, long time. And so.
They do. In fact, in my yard, we have two primary oaks, and one is the post oak and the blackjack oaks. Okay. And blackjacks usually lose their leaves in fall, and post oaks hold on to them all winter. At least that's how I read it. So I get several leaf falls.
Yeah. Yeah.
This year I had got limb falls, but that's another whole thing. The leaves are almost all blown off now of a lot of the trees.
So with trees, unless you move away, you're going to be married to that tree for a long time. So it is best to choose carefully. And I say, do your homework, invest a little money, and buy good trees, if nothing else, in the garden.
And here is a good place to buy from a local nursery. I'm going to give a shout out to Scapes Inc. in Oklahoma. They will come plant the tree for you. My friend Mike Lindsay owns it, and he just did a deal on Facebook where he showed some of the trees he has. He works very, very hard to choose trees that are very good for this part of the United States.
Yes.
One more thing.
Yes.
Do not plant trees under electric lines.
No.
Because that was part of our problem, too, in Oklahoma. We still have customers, electric customers, that do not have electricity. This is like day 12 or 13.
Well, so we got around here, they'll come and trim away from the power lines, and you'll end up with a half tree. They'll just trim.
Well, we have that here, too. So just do yourself a favor. Don't plant the tree. And also think about the size of the tree before you plant the tree.
Yes.
The mature size.
Yes.
Don't do to your, you know, whoever gets your house after you.
Right.
Don't give them a tree that's 50 feet tall in a very small yard.
Right. All right.
That's it.
Let's go on to the garden commission for the week.
Yes, let's do.
Yours is?
Mine is my houseplants. The houseplants that stayed inside were totally neglected all summer. And so I'm going to water everyone, spray the dust off of their leaves, and move a bunch of the tropical plants into my bathroom for a nice moist environment. And then I'm going to grow all my bulbs in the living room. That's my plan.
So when you say spray the dust off, do you like set them in a sink and just like really?
Mm-hmm. I use my sink sprayer.
That's good.
I do, because they get dusty leaves and then they can't.
They can't breathe.
They can't breathe. And so we don't want to do that to them. And so they need that off of their leaves. They need all their dead leaves taken off. Dead leaves are hard on a plant, yep. Bring in all kinds of problems. So
they get embarrassed if they look terrible.
Well, mine were kind of embarrassed, so I'm doing that this week.
Well, I'm going to keep picking up leaves, and I have this urge to go buy a big bag of mixed daffodil bulbs, and I know they have them at the big box stores and Costco and Sam's Club. Because when I was cleaning off the garden, I remembered that I have some areas where I just have them rowed up, like for picking for bouquets. Mm-hmm. And I'd stuck a stick in where the end of the row was, kind of thinking I would extend it out.
Right.
And I thought, you know what? I'm going to go buy a bunch of those bulbs, and I'm going to extend that out and have more daffodils blooming. That'll be fun.
I think that'll be beautiful. I also bought Silver Chimes daffodil. It's a really pretty one, and I bought it, and it came this week. And I'm going to plant more daffodils down in part of my shady gardens, because you can plant them under trees because trees don't have leaves yet. And then if you put hostas around them, the hostas hide the dying leaves of the daffodils, which is always good. We should say that everybody who hasn't ordered bulbs, a lot of the bulb companies are either closing their fall orders now, or I was just looking at Brent and Becky says that fall items will be available on November 30th, and this is because there's just been a wave of orders, and they can't get them out. So they are actually going to take orders, it looks like, on November the 30th. So if you still want to grow some paper whites, you know, force them inside, you could.
And that's the only way to get them, those that don't smell, is to order them, because the ones at the store are going to smell.
Yeah, and some people like the smell of Ziva, but I don't. So
no,
I invest
we
in
know
those
you
other
don't.
Ones. I know. I talk about it every year. I'm so sorry. Oh, we got something happy to share. You share it.
Right. Well, I was out looking at our reviews. I thought we asked for people to do these, and I thought we should go look. And so D. Mary Elaine, we want to thank her. She just left a comment on her 100th episode. She says, I always look forward to your informative and interesting insights into gardening, life lessons, and everything in between. Cheers to the next 100.
Man, that's nice.
We wanted to thank D. Mary Elaine. Reviews like that keep us going.
They do. They do. Because sometimes it's hard to come up with new things to talk about in a week, but we usually do okay.
We do. And so we want to thank everyone for listening to The Garden Angelus. If you like our podcast, please tell your friends about us. Also, hit the subscribe button so you don't miss a single episode.
And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, we'd love a 5-star review like D. Mary Elaine's. That helps us get noticed by others. And if you move up that chain, you get more listens.
And be sure and check out our show notes for links for more information about today's topics, plus links to our own websites. And if you want to help support us, use those affiliate links. If you buy something after clicking through on them, we earn a small commission and it costs you nothing.
It was lovely to chat with all of you over the garden gate today. Bye until next week.
Bye.